writing from a dungeon. You got to remember that when you read the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul knows he's getting ready to be executed. Remember that as you're reading 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read 16 verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, almost the whole chapter, amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Remember where I told you Paul was writing from? But he's still praying for somebody else. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, listen again, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee by the keeping of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philenus and Hermogenes. The Lord gave me mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Three times in this passage of Scripture. At least three times in this passage of Scripture, we hear the phrase, not ashamed. Paul's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Paul saying, I am not ashamed. And then he calls on another man that says, he was not ashamed of my chains. He was not ashamed to be associated with me. In this dungeon, he was not ashamed to be associated with me. I want to preach a little while on the thought of I am not ashamed. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, and I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. And I realize, Lord, that we're weak. We need you, God, more than we ever thought that we really needed you, God. I know that every person in this building right now, God, needs you, Lord. And God, we know that we fail you so many times, God, but Lord, you're always there. We thank you, God, that you are there answering prayers, God, when the doctor says it can't be done, Lord. You show up, God. Lord, I thank you for what you do. I thank you for your blessings. And whatever's done, we're going to praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The word ashamed there means feeling shame, distress, or embarrassed by feelings of guilt. Being ashamed of the gospel is a very subtle thing. It creeps into the lives of us. It creeps into our lives. It creeped into the life of Peter. Remember, Peter was the boldest of all the disciples. Peter was the one that said, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you. I'll even die for you. But yet on that night, he denied Jesus three times. He was ashamed of him. Have you ever been in a crowd and the Holy Ghost told you to witness and you didn't? Have you ever been somewhere and the Spirit of God was telling you to do something and you didn't? Were you ashamed of him? The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, Jesus said, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels." So we need to be ready to defend our faith. Amen. No matter what, no matter where, no matter who, we need to be ready. And sometimes the Lord just lays things on your heart to preach. And sometimes, Brother Skip, there's thoughts. But this thought come to me this week after seeing some different things. But number one, let me get into the message. Number one, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." The gospel right there basically is the good news of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. This is Jesus we're talking about. We ought not be ashamed of Jesus. How many in here tonight will boldly say tonight in a closed room with nobody in the world, how many of us will throw up your hand and I say, "I am a Christian"? Yeah. I am a Christian. You identify as a Christian. You know what that means? That means you took Jesus' name. When I married my wife, she took my last name. And I really don't believe that she's ashamed to be called a Larimore. When Sandy married Skip, she took Skip's last name. That means you're associating yourself. Hey, when you say you are a Christian, you are associating yourself with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. He is our husband. I am proud to be known as a Christian tonight. After all he did for us, I'm not going to preach on the cross tonight, and I'm not going to preach on the crucifixion, but after all Jesus did for us, how in the world can we be ashamed to raise our hands? How can we be ashamed to let everybody know we're a Christian? I'm not ashamed to live like a Christian. In the world we live in, when people find out that you don't cuss, they look at you like you got two heads.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's right.
When people find out you don't drink, they look at you like you a nut. Yeah. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't run around in all the ungodly places that I used to run around in. When people find out that you don't do that no more, they look, "Well, what's wrong with you? Don't you like partying?" I do like partying, but I like doing it with the Christians, glory to God. I like having a good time. I like cutting up. I enjoy myself. I don't run around on my wife. Hey, you start talking to the world and you tell them you are monogamous. You're in a relationship. I've only been with one woman for the last 38 years. I'm telling you right now, they look at you like you a nut. But glory to God, I might be a nut. But the old preacher said I'm screwed on to the right bolt. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say I live like a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that, folks. There's a lot of folks that they're ashamed to let people know that they're saved. That they're undercover agents. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't got no undercover agents. So don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my Bible. Amen. I am not ashamed to tell people I carry a King James version of the Bible. Amen. Somebody said this one time. This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort you to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven is open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory. It should rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of gold, a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts and it will lead you to Calvary, to an empty tomb, to the resurrected life of Christ. Yes, to glory itself. It will lead you into eternity. It'll keep you out of hell, glory to God. I'm not ashamed to say that I carry a King James Bible. So why the King James Bible? I'm going to give you a little history lesson right now. Why the King James Bible? Number one, for theological reasons. Amen. Some of these new Bibles are dangerous because of the theological basis of their translators. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible was presented to the public as a complete work in 1952. The unbelieving bias of the majority of its translators is evident when you read certain passages of Scripture. In the Revised Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 reads like this, and you're going to get this. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son and shall call him His name Emmanuel. That ain't right. The Bible says she was a virgin, not a young woman. Amen. So you got to understand, there's theological reasons. There's textual reasons that I like the King James Bible. Many people don't know this, but most of your 100 new versions of the Bible are not translated from the same Hebrew and Greek text that the King James translators used. In the late 1800s, a committee of British and American scholars began to work on a revision of the King James Bible. They decided that the Greek text of the New Testament used in the translation of the old Bible had a defect. Although that text represented the New Testament, it has been accepted by most Christians over the centuries. It was spurned because it disagreed with some of the older manuscripts. Almost all the new versions are actually translations of the new Greek text that generated by this committee that said the King James Bible was archaic, that said the King James Bible was not up to date. How about physical? Listen to this. Christians ought to be interested in hearing the very words of God. Amen. 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 Now, the King James Version is translation that seeks, scholars call it, the formal equivalence to the original text. Others, however, seek what they call dynamic equivalence. The formal equivalence, which the King James approaches to seeks to express in English the meaning of the very words in Greek. The other one, a man read it, Jackie, and wrote down what he thought it said. So if you want to know what God said, you get a King James version of the Bible. If you want to know what somebody thought God said, you get another version of the Bible. Amen. What about cultural reasons? For almost over 200 years, the King James version of the Bible was the Bible that the American people used. For almost 200 years, it was not. It's the one that was most quoted. It's the one that was most used. How would we feel if somebody came in? Do you know what? You know what it. I'm not going to get into history. Do you know what it takes to amend the Constitution of the United States of America? Man, it takes an act of Congress to amend the Constitution, to change the words of the Constitution. And now we get translators that want to play around with the version, the King James version of the Bible that's been, hey, I'm just stupid enough to say it like this. It was good enough for granddaddy, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for great granddaddy, it's good enough for me, amen. How about practical reasons? Believe it or not, now listen. Believe it or not, some of the features most criticized in the King James Bible are among the best reasons to keep it. For example, consider the these and the thous. The King James Version was not written in everyday language of the people in the street on 1611 when it was written. It was written in High English. a very precise form of our language. In modern English, the second person pronoun is expressed with one word, whether in the singular or plural, that word is you. In the King James Version, lets us know whether the scriptures mean singular or plural, you, thou, or thee, meaning one person may be addressed, and ye and you, meaning several. This is a feature that a lot of people say, I just don't understand it. Well, it's the thing that makes me understand it better. It's been proven, by theologians, it's been proven by colleges that the King James Version of the Bible is the easiest Bible to memorize. Amen. So I'm not ashamed to say I still carry a King James Bible. Amen. I still carry a King James Bible. When I walk into church, I got my King James Bible. I'm doing revival next week down in Conway. And guess what? When I walk into that church, I'll be carrying a King James Bible. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my church. We're Free Will Baptists. Amen. Y'all know what Free Will Baptist means? Y'all know what Free Will Baptists believe? We believe in free will, free grace, free salvation. That's what Free Will Baptist means. That means that we don't believe that people are predestinated. We don't believe that that you have no choice in the matter. We believe that just like the John 3:16, for whosoever, amen, whosoever, that was me and that was you, that whosoever. Amen. I still believe in Free Will Baptist. I'm Free Will Baptist for a reason. I think that the Free Will Baptists are as close as any other denomination or closer than any other denomination that I know of. That's why I'm Free Will Baptist. If Free Will Baptists ever cease to believe this right here, I will no longer be associated with Free Will Baptists. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my church. We have standards. It's going to probably get quiet right here, but that's all right. I know how to preach when people ain't amening me. We have standards at our church. So I read this, I was studying today. Y'all know what Mason said to Dixon the first time? You got to draw a line somewhere. Some of y'all get that. Some of y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. You got to draw a line somewhere. Amen. I'm just going to say this. Things that go on in other churches don't go on here. Because we got standards. I still believe it's all right for a church to have a dress code. Amen. I still believe you ought to come to church looking like you're going to church. I still believe you ought to dress when you come to church. You ought to look like you're going to church, not look like you're going to Walmart or look like you're going to a ball game. This is God's house. This ain't your house. This is God's house. At your house, you can run around in your flip-flops and your shorts and your cut-off tank tops and all that other kind of stuff. I don't want to see that at church. Amen, preacher. Y'all better amen me or I amen myself. I still believe. I've said this before. Banks have a dress code. If you work at the bank, you got a dress code. If you work for an airline, you got a dress code. People have a fit when the church has a dress code. All this here, come as you are and leave as you was. Best thing to do is get dressed up, come to church like you're coming to church. Get a hold of what God wants you to get a hold of, and you won't be wearing that kind of nonsense no more. Amen, preacher. I got to move on. Y'all done got quiet. We still believe you got to live right. Amen. I still believe you got to live right. I won't never forget it. We were sitting at my mom and daddy's table one day, Skip, and we were sitting around there and we were talking, and she's not my sister-in-law now, but she was my sister-in-law then. Never mind, I ain't going to get into all that. But she said something about this guy playing an instrument at church that morning. Said he did a good job. I said, well, that's good. She said, yeah, he was playing down at the Bowery the other night. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, well, he wouldn't be playing at my church. Well, why not? Because we got standards. If you're playing at the honky-tonk, I don't want you playing up here.
That's right.
If you're singing at the honky tonk, I don't want you singing in here. To sing in this church and to be in a part of it, to get up and lead in worship in this church, you got to be saved. And if you're saved, you ain't going to be down there at the honky tonk singing and carrying on down there at the honky tonk. We still believe that you got to live right, amen. I done opened a can of worms now. I might well go and step through it. I still believe that a preacher is to be the husband of one wife. I still believe that deacons are to be the husband of one wife. I still believe you're supposed to have standards. I'm not ashamed of my church. I am not ashamed to let people know that I go to Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. Oh, yeah, I hear it all the time. Oh, you go to church over there, y'all handle snakes over there. No, we don't. You pull a snake out in this church, you're going to probably get shot. By me. I'm not ashamed of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed of the way we worship. We loud. I know that. I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of folks, well, you got to be dignified in church. You ain't got to act like that. I know you ain't got to act like that in church, but it sure feels good to act like that sometime. Amen. Let me just throw some scripture at y'all. Psalms 134, verse 1 through 3 says this: Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Psalm 64, 3, verse 4: Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hey, that right there is scripture saying that you and I are supposed to worship God with holy hands lifted up in the air. The Bible goes on to say in Psalms chapter 5, verse, and listen to this one. For all y'all people that think you got to be quiet in church, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defendest them. If God's defending you, you ought to shout tonight, amen. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? Thank God, I love the way we worship. Hey, I'm glad that we come to a church, Jackie, where everybody don't worship like I do. Everybody ain't loud like me. Everybody don't jump up in the pew like me. And that's all right. But don't be mad if I do. Don't be mad if I say amen. Don't be mad if I lift my hands. You just sit there and be quiet and worship in your own way. Y'all do realize I preach a little loud. I just making sure y'all knew. Amen. Preacher Mike said it best. Said his granddaddy said, teaching is telling and preaching is yelling. Amen. I can't help it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 says this: Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Amen. I'm backed by the word of God. Amen. I'm supposed to preach like this. I'm supposed to get loud. I'm supposed to be radical. I'm supposed to preach as hard as I can. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Every pastor that I ever served under, every pastor that I ever knew preached the same identical way that I preach. I wasn't ashamed of them. And I hope you're not ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed of my church. Listen, I know everybody can't take liberty. I realize that. If we had everybody that ever come through them doors, we'd have a 10,000 seat sanctuary. They come in, Jackie. Adam, they like the excitement, you know. They like the music. They like the amens and everybody starts praying, scared them to death. Sometimes they come in, they like it. They like the music. They like the Sunday school. They like when the preacher gets up and starts naming sin and calling sin out, they don't like that. Everybody don't like church like we like church. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not ashamed. When you ride by this church, that Free Will Baptist is still on the sign. And I'm promise you one thing, as long as I'm here, Free Will Baptist is going to be on the sign. Amen. Amen. I'm proud to say that that's my wife. I am proud to say that's my wife. And you want to get on my bad side, talk about my wife. I'm the same way about my church. And I'm the same way about my Jesus. How about you? So when you're in Walmart tomorrow, or the next day, or whenever, and the Holy Spirit tells you to witness, what you going to do? Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody about Jesus. You know, Larry's got that shirt on, and I got one just like it. That shirt right there opens more conversations than anything I've ever seen. That shirt says, Jesus, he loved me to death. And when you wear that in public, that sparks interest in people. I've walked into stores before and had a big old man about Skip size. He had a big coffee, and he turned around and he saw me and he stopped. He said, man, I needed that. He said, I was having a bad day. He said, I needed that. Folks, people are hurting. People are in pain. And you got the answer. If nothing else, invite them to church. Tell them to come hear this loud, crazy preacher that you got. Just warn them up front. He might scare you a little bit, but he won't hurt you. They need to hear about Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel. They need to hear about the good news. Amen. And don't be ashamed to be Free Will Baptist. Don't be ashamed to be a member of Liberty Free Baptist Church. Don't be ashamed. Let's lift up Jesus. Amen. Amen.